Thanks, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Good morning, Central Family.
Well, we got that part right.
It is a privilege to be here among you with Ed to deliver a lesson this morning. I'm struck every time I walk in this building by the goals at both ends of the floor. Most of y'all don't know me as a younger man, but I played basketball for 26 years. So if anybody should have made their way into a sermon in this room, it should have been me. So
just before we got our assembly started today, Jim came up and said, I'm going to say something extra, and you have to say something too, something they don't know about us. Well, I'm going to say this, whether you know it or not. There's a pretty red-headed girl in this room that I sure do like. Y'all may not have known that, but now you do. It's your turn, buddy.
And tomorrow is Tracy's birthday, so all I right. love her, and I wanted to call her out, embarrass her.
She turned 21.
Ed and I are going to talk a little bit about a couple of topics out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Wait a minute, Jim. That's us.
Yeah, that's us.
And I'm supposed to know how to run this thing.
Mm-hmm. You're the AV guy. Okay. The topics are giving money and giving self. The important points to these chapters are about contribution. They're about giving of your finances, that kind of thing. But giving self is far more important. Until you give yourself to Him, you'll never wrap your head around being able to give the way you should.
And speaking of giving, etc., I did a little digging and ran across several authors who said there are more than 2,000 scriptures in the Bible on the topic of giving. No, we're not going to look at all of them today.
When we talk about giving, it's money, of course, but it's more than that. When I think about giving now, after having been a member of Central for years, God gives us all these things. He gives us money. He gives us time. He gives us gifts and abilities. And we can give out of all of those means.
And Jim and I don't have this down pat. We're learning. We learned a lot from this lesson. We actually rehearsed and talked about this. This was good for both of us. Something that I want you to remember when you read the Bible, especially in this area, is that the Holy Spirit is trying to get a couple of things across to you when you read the Bible. He wants to alter your physical and your spiritual behavior. Say that again. The Holy Spirit is trying to get two things across to you when you read the book. He's trying to get to you physically and spiritually. very often, Scripture is about physical giving money and giving yourself, but it's always, always doing something spiritual. Always.
And the reason for that is spiritual is forever. Physical is important, but it's going to pass away. So when you read the Bible, keep your physical behavior in mind, but more importantly, look for your direction spiritually. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the middle of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us.
Wow. So for sure we're talking about giving money, yes, physical stuff. We're also talking about spiritual. Now we're going to work on the spiritual piece of this first, but before we go to that, we need to understand some context from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. There are three churches involved. Three churches. There's the church at Jerusalem, the church at Corinth, and the church at Macedonia. When you read this passage, three churches. So Paul is asking the church at Corinth to give money for the church at Jerusalem. And he is using the Macedonian church as an example for the Corinthian church how they should give to Jerusalem. Are you messed up yet?
Yes.
Let me do it again. Okay. Three churches involved. Jerusalem, Corinth, Macedonia. Paul is asking the church at Corinth to give money for the church at Jerusalem, and he's using the Macedonian church as an example for how the Corinthian church ought to do that. Did I mess it up worse? Okay, when Paul says brothers and sisters, he's talking about the folks at Corinth. When Paul says we, he's talking about Paul and Timothy and maybe Titus. This is neat to me, though. Look who gave first. God gave first. God gave to the Macedonian churches. He gave grace to the Macedonian churches. And remember, the Macedonian church is who God is holding up for an example for Corinth. Look at some things Paul said about the Macedonian church. Severe trial, extreme poverty, entirely on their own, pleading for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Jim's going to hit that in a minute. They gave as much as they were able and beyond. This is so neat, though. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord.
So everybody understands the Macedonians were not doing great financially. They didn't have even what they needed. They were struggling. It says they were in extreme poverty. So they were not okay. Times were tough. Despite this, despite being in a severe trial, because of their joy in the Lord, out of extreme poverty, they gave generously. It says beyond their ability. Nobody had to drag it out of them. They were neither reluctant nor begrudging of their what little they had. They urgently pleaded for the privilege of sharing with the Lord's people. That's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
Paul explains that the Macedonians' behavior comes from having given themselves to the Lord first. They had bought in to Jesus. They were part of the family, part of the body. As a result, they're not just giving. The Spirit of Christ is in their giving. They are giving out of an overflow of Christ in them.
And about this they gave themselves thing, we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it except our heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So think about this question. What does Jesus not own? Think about that. What does not belong to God? I can think of one thing that I have total control over. One thing that Jesus does not own. My heart. Myself. Think about that one. It's totally up to me whether or not I give myself to Him. He doesn't own it. I have to give it to Him. It's up to me. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but He doesn't kick down the door. Again, we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it except our hearts. We have to choose whether or not to give it to Him.
For those of us who have already given our hearts to Jesus, we should choose daily to give Him our lives as well. Our hearts, everything we have, our hearts being devoted to Him above all, our minds being renewed in His truths, and our souls yearning to know Him better and love Him more. So, what is, in the words of Tom Reynolds, what does that look like? Romans 12:6-13. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And remember, God gave grace to us first. We are to give ourselves to Him.
And if I give myself to God, all my other stuff goes with it. If I give myself to God, He gets it all. Okay, now let's get back to the giving money thing. And we'll be looking, Jim will be reading from 2 Corinthians 8:9-12.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Paul points out here that Christ did much more for the Corinthians than they were being asked to do, obviously. Jesus willingly left the riches and safety of heaven to come to earth as a man and die for their sins. He did this so that they could experience the riches and safety of heaven. This is an inheritance. Now it is time for them to follow Christ's example in sacrificing for the good of others. And 2 Corinthians 8:10-12. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so.
That's neat, Jim. He said they started last year.
Now finish the work, Corinthians.
Yeah.
I added that part. so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means.
Completing it. All right.
For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. It is my belief that gratitude and humility are two very important aspects to a Christian life. And I have learned through my life experiences that willingness is crucial as well. God will present you with situations during your life, opportunities. You will be shown what He wants you to do. It's up to you to be willing to take on the task that He presents you. And in that willingness lies your blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. And as I read this, think about this question. You knew we'd have to get to this. So here it is. Think about this question. Well, how much should I give? I mean, lesson on giving.
Well, you're talking not just about money, though, but time and everything else. So
and sales.
Keep that in mind.
I get that. Okay. All right, so let's read together. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, it's a big word, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. And nothing here, nothing about this is new to us. You plant a little, you harvest a little. You plant a lot, you harvest a lot. Give as you've decided in your heart, not just a tithe like in the Old Testament where they gave a tenth plus a few other things. Give as you've decided in your heart. And people often ask, well, how much should I give? Well, here's a good answer. How much have you been prospered? Talk to Jesus about the dollar amount. He'll straighten you out. Learn from what He gave. Don't give reluctantly or because of a guilt trip. God loves a cheerful giver. God is, get this one. If you don't get it, it's the last line up there. God is able to bless you abundantly so that you can do good work by your giving.
Look what Jesus did. 5 loaves and 2 fish from a little boy, 5,000 men in there. People were fed.
Here's another good question to think about. How to be rich the right way? I guess that means there's a wrong way to be rich. But how to be rich the right way? Let's look at 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present world
That's all of us, by the way.
Those who are rich in this present world, we're all those people, that's us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had arguments about who was rich, so here we go. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, that's a weird word to have in there, enjoyment. We'll get a little more on that in a minute. Command them, the rich, to do good. Command them, the rich, to be rich in good deeds. And for the rich to be generous and willing to share. And this way, they, the rich, will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So this passage to me answers a question. Is it wrong to be rich? The answer is no. Well, what is rich? Yesterday, Sharon and I were at a thing called Feed My Sheep. On one side of the table, a bunch of guys in the His Way Recovery Program putting food in plates for people who had neither house nor food. If you got food and you got a house to live in, you're rich.
Hallelujah.
Come next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, you'll see. This passage clearly answers. It's not about the size of your bank account. It's about the size of your heart. If you have a big bank account, have a big heart. If you have a little bank account, have a big heart. Did you get that? Do I need to do that again? Let's do it again, Jim. If you have a big bank account, have a
big heart.
If you have a little bank account, have a
big heart.
That's not hard. So what do you do with your money? However much you got. Are you doing good? Are you rich in good works? Are you ready to share? Some examples. You may remember, if you ever watched The Chosen, and by the way, I wouldn't use The Chosen for a debate, but it sure is good. Luke 5, Matthew the tax collector made a great feast for Jesus. He was rich and he made a great feast. He invited everybody and their brother, and the Pharisees even showed up. Gave from what he had. The rich guy did. Zacchaeus was a rich guy after he got down out of the tree. You remember him. He told Jesus, I give half of what I've got to the poor. This is a rich guy talking. Now let's talk about somebody who gave it all. In Mark 14, Mary broke the alabaster jar and poured the perfume on Jesus. She didn't uncork it and pour a little. She broke it open and poured it out on him. She gave it all, a year's worth of wages, and poured it on Jesus. And then in Mark 12 and Luke 14, we got the widow that Jesus was watching, and she put in two little coins. And Jesus said she put in more than everybody else. I have a color photograph
that I've seen
of that scene happening. Mackie Shedd and Kishore Itwaru and I went to India. On a Sunday morning, we were in church, and it came collection time. And the collection guy did whatever he said in their language about the collection. And I was sitting on the front with the other guys, and that lady was right there. And she doesn't know I took this picture. She got out her coin purse. And put it in the plate.
God richly supplies all things to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the things He's given us. By a show of hands, who likes pinto beans and cornbread? Oh, we've got a pretty good group here.
Yeah.
A great steak is good too sometimes, right? Yeah. God gave, Jesus gave, we need to give out of the abundance of Christ in us. From our time, our money, our abilities, and all our resources.
When you first give your heart, when you give yourself, God gets everything else. What's the problem with this?
If you want direction or need encouragement or prayer, the elders will be here as we stand and as we sing.
Good morning. Okay, good. It showed up. So Ed called me this week and said, hey, there's going to be a receipt up behind you. And it's going to say, Jesus paid it all. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do with that? And so I got to thinking, which is dangerous. And I thought about how sometimes if we're given something that's, or we get something that's free, we don't often value it the same way as if it's something that we worked hard for. If we work hard for something, we know the sacrifice that was put in for it. We know, you know, the blood and the sweat and the hours that we spent trying to get there and all that effort. And we value that more. And things that we get for free, just by our very nature, we just don't value the same way. And that's where I'm kind of going to tie it back into communion here. I think it's really cool that we, as a body, have an opportunity to be reminded each week of the sacrifice, of the pain, of the blood and the sweat and the tears that has been shed for us. It was not free. Jesus had to pay it. And so thank you, Ed. Bow with me as we pray for the bread. Dear God, we come before you not trusting in our own righteousness, Lord, because we are not righteous. We are sinners. And we need your blood and your body as a sacrifice so that we can have confidence that we will come before you blameless at the time that you require of us. Pray for this bread. Use it to nourish our bodies, but use it also to remind us of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for the cup. Lord, we know that this cup represents the blood of your Son. It's not a temporary sacrifice that was given like an animal sacrifices in the past, where just for that moment we are covered. But this blood is so pure and so holy that it covers all of our sins. Those in the past, those that others will commit in the future. Lord, this truly is amazing and astounding and humbling. Lord, bless this cup. May we take it in a manner that is pleasing to you and worthy of your Son's sacrifice. Amen.